Shall we get started? All right, it's Sunday the 13th of July. This is episode 91 of the Alexi Sell podcast. Please welcome to the stage, Alexi Sell! Mr. Sale! Okay. I'm your hype man. Number one hype man in the biz. Is that a bit wonky? Do you want me to fix your mic stand for you?
No, it's alright. It's sort of moving around a bit. I don't know.
You say hello while I go
hello,
there.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Alexi Sell Podcast. A few gap in the front row. We're going to do crowd work. I'll do crowd work to invisible people. Well, you two a couple. What job do you do? Really? High paid assassin. Really, we don't carry doing the Netflix man. What do you do, sir? There's no need to say that, is there really? You fucking cunt. Well, you saying that to me, you shitbag. I'll fucking fill you in, you fucking twat. Anyway, so
that was great. That's the second time you've ever done crowd work. It was to no one. I love that so much. That was history we just witnessed.
Yeah. Shut up, you fucker. What you see in him, honestly, love.
That's great. No, honestly, you'd never really liked crowd work.
I fucking hate crowd work, really. It's because there's this, there's this, this Scouse comedian I was reading about, The Guardian, somebody Smith, have you heard of him?
That's a very common name.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Paul Smith, yeah. He does a lot of crowd work, doesn't he? Twat. If he was here, Paul Smith, you twat. You wanker. Is he a wanker? Yeah. Scouse wanker, though, so I'm kind of ambiguous
Half wanker. But Ross Noble kind of mastered the art, didn't
really?
He?
Really? Did he?
Did you not get into his stuff?
Oh, fuck off. I don't see any. I don't go and see comedians.
Yeah, you don't.
She thinks wrong with me. No. Yeah, I don't know. He's big on Instagram. He's big on the internet, isn't he, really, for doing the crowd
Paul
work
Smith.
Bullshit, really. Yeah.
Is he almost like a bit redhead kind of? Yeah, I think you're shaking your head. You're saying yes.
I think
I know who you mean.
Has he had a go at you? Were you in the audience?
No,
and he
I just watched his video.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, I believe you. Yeah. He's nasty. He's a lot richer and more successful than me, though. So there is that.
I think it makes each show unique. It's a bit of like improv, a bit of nice energy. Sometimes you find nuggets of real gold in the audience.
Oh, I can't stand it. The YouTube keeps offering me this. I can't remember. She's Chinese comedian, and she. She says she's in a club somewhere, and she says, who did 9/11? And a guy in the audience just says, we did. how do you know? And he said, well, I was in special forces for 12 years, and I know that we, 9/11 was done by, and she's quick, actually, because she says, he keeps drinking, because he just keeps drinking. That's how she goes. She doesn't really. But it was, he's really authoritative, this guy. I don't know. It's,
wow.
It just says, we 9/11, that was us. Yeah. United States. So sometimes crowd work can be illuminating, I suppose.
It's not
you
entirely.
Might say, sorry, are you two together? What's the formula for cold fusion so that all the world's energy problems will be solved? EQ by EQ next. I can't even make up a fucking
equation
in my head. EX equals X to the Q to the M.
X to the Q to the M. You're a rapper now.
It's both the theory for cold fusion and it's a rap, yeah. So
it's not completely far-fetched, the fact that the idea that 9/11 could have been a...
No, he was very convincing, this inside guy in the job. Audience, yeah.
Because, you know, think of what came after, obviously. Everyone knows that.
The modern world, America
gained a lot, basically, from what happened in that fateful day. What do you think? Who did
Me?
It? Yeah, what do you think about 9/11?
Oh, I don't really know.
can steel girders melt at that temperature? Did you notice in the slow motion video how the explosions trigger down the building?
On 9/11, I was actually in a plane. I was flying back from Spain, so I was at Heathrow when I heard about 9/11.
Close call, you dodged that one.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I think I'm already going to be going to prison anyway, so I suppose theorizing about 9/11. I don't know. I mean, it's sort of out. I mean, it's on the fringes, isn't it? I don't know how you could really. Well, I mean, you could obviously you could encourage the jihadists to do it.
Yeah,
you could certainly do that. I don't know whether you could. All the kind of conspiracy theories about the building collapsing. I can't really see that.
It's like you could let the dog off the chain, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's easier than doing it yourself.
Yeah. And in a sense, I mean, there's a very funny Family Guy, isn't there, about...
I don't watch that show.
Do you watch Family Guy? I thought you did.
Not since I was a child.
They go to New York and he says, oh, wow, ground zero. Peter Griffin says, this is where the first guy got AIDS.
Okay, that's quite funny. That's a good joke, yeah.
And then Peter says, so this is where Iraq... I can't remember where it goes now, but this is where Iraq bombed 9/11. And Brian, you know, the dog says, no, it was 11 Saudis and a Pakistani or something. And I can't remember where it goes after that. But it basically just keeps...
I get it. Yeah, and they were given flight classes in America.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I mean, it is that sort of... They only had taking off lessons. They never did any...
It's true.
You say, that's okay, great. Well, you want to do the landing? Take the land. That's an extra $25, but no...
No, that's okay. I don't... don't think I will need it. Just the up bit, fine.
You think somebody would have got suspicious, wouldn't you, really?
Yeah.
I did. I was talking to some friends this day. We were talking about High Wycombe for some reason. And I've actually been through High Wycombe at 70 miles an hour in a police car, blues and twos, because when I worked for the Daily Telegraph, I went out with the High Wycombe police for a day because they were thinking of switching to like all electric cars or something. And so they said, do you want to go blues and twos through the town centre? So I'm like, fuck yeah, all right. And they're just, not chasing anybody. But they were very proud in High Wycombe. The chief inspector was actually French, which was weird. And which would make a good kind of sitcom. He's a French Inspector Jabot. He's chief inspector. He's got a messed up personal life. He drives a 2CV to work. But they were very proud in High Wycombe that they were home. I think they were home. They were either home to the underpants bomber or the shoe bomber. I know they were very proud of the fact that I think certainly the shoe bomber came from High Wycombe. It's the reason you've had to take your shoes off in Stansted Airport for the last 20 years because some fucker from High Wycombe. So, but the thing that I thought about police cars, what you could need, an invention, this is really boring, is that because often we'd be driving and they say, oh, that car's stolen. They'd come up on a thing, like coming the other way.
Yeah.
They go, and that's how they stop and they put it in reverse, put it in forward. And so what you need is a thing that slams down in the middle of a police car, flips it round and zooms off in the opposite direction. Because at the moment, if you're going the other way from the cops, they're fucked. They're never going to be able to turn around in time. So yeah, police turn around a rater. What, you're actually working on one of them, are you?
In the front row there.
Yeah.
Oh, right, he's an engineer.
Yeah, he's an engineer.
Oh, wow.
Police car solutions. Oh, right.
Patent pending.
You two work together.
I flew out from Gatwick not too long ago. and they said, you don't need to take your shoes off anymore. You don't need to put your liquids in the little bag thing. And I was like, how come? And they said, oh, we've got this new AI software that figures it all out for us.
Yeah.
You don't even need to take your laptop out or anything. I'm like, no. Sweet. So I just chuck my bag on the conveyor belt. We walk through and it's just carnage on the other side. Everyone is like waiting. The bags have all like gone onto the other track.
Oh, really?
Every bag needs to be searched manually by a guy or a lady, of course. And we're all just sitting there fuming. Because obviously the AI is fucking dog shit. And I think the next day they brought the little plastic bags back because it's fucking, it was bollocks. Great story.
It's a great yarn. Grok, the...
Oh my God, he's turned full Nazi.
Yeah, because he was very left-wing, wasn't he? He always hated Elon Musk.
Grok is the AI talk bot on Twitter. Please, go ahead. Talk bot. Thing on Twitter / X, and it got a bit left wing, and all the Twitter nutters were like, "Elon, sort it out. Your fucking AI is a fucking hippie," and he's like, "All right," and Elon tweaked it, and now it calls itself Mecha Hitler. It calls itself that.
Really?
Yeah. It started an argument with a Jewish ex-user and it was being super anti-Semitic, saying someone needs to sort all you lot out. It's fucked. It's so fucked. It makes the MAGA lot happy, That's what matters, isn't it?
No, we're safe for another week from the our overlords then. Our robot overlords.
Did I tell you about the AI that blackmailed the user?
No.
They were doing some experiments on AI, seeing how far it would go to save itself.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And one of the tests was, all right, I'm going to turn you off. Oh, first, he was like, oh, by the way, AI, I'm cheating on my wife, just so you know. And he was like, all right, cool. He goes, okay, I'm going to turn you off now. And then the AI said, no, I'll tell everyone that you're sleeping with your wife if you turn me off.
It's like 2000, Daisy. It's like 2001. Give me your answer. Don't do that, Hal.
It's wild, man. Wild
out there, yeah.
How are you feeling this week, Alexi? How's your week been?
How's my week been?
Yeah.
Obviously, my sense of personal worth is connected to how many people I get at this podcast, and there's only 25, so...
Alexi!
You shouldn't say things like that, so I feel really bad about that. I feel hollow inside, like I don't matter because people... On the other hand, how many views have we got on
Instagram?
Just to make me...
Just download
then
the
I'll
app!
Then I'll feel... I can't... Don't just tell me how many views have we got.
We had 1.1 million views in the last 30 days on
Instagram.
We're up
to about 6 or 7 million.
Yes, you've got to add that to the tally.
Yeah. So that makes me feel good.
Dude,
feel better about myself.
These people have come far and wide to come see you.
I'm just being...
And they're a quality bunch. Who thinks they've come from the furthest today?
Leeds.
Oh,
come
well,
from Leeds to see us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. What about you with a hand up?
Australia.
Australia?
That kind of beats fucking Leeds, doesn't it, really?
I think Leeds is better.
I feel like I should be better. If you come all that way, it's gonna be all right, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be like life changing.
It's a podcast taping.
You come from Australia, not just for this, sure. I mean I'd be kind of flattered. I'm just trying to think about how my self-worth would be connected with what somebody had done to come and see one of my shows. So if somebody said, I was scheduled for a kidney replacement, but it was on the same day as your show, and that would make me feel good about myself, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You're so fragile.
Pathetic, isn't it?
I know. You're like a porcelain.
Tragic. Or I've left my wife. To come and see this show. I mean, because she wouldn't come. That would make me feel better about myself. So you haven't come from Australia just to see this?
No, I'm here for Edinburgh Fringe.
Oh, you're here for the Edinburgh Fringe.
To visit or to perform? To perform there?
Oh, perform, really.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Should we ask him about his comedy?
Yeah, why not? Okay. He's going to be a... No.
Let's promote your show. What's your name? Ben Folchok. Where's that name from, Folchok? Ukrainian name. What's your show called in Edinburgh?
It's called The Ceremony.
The Ceremony by Ben Folchop, playing at the Pleasance. At Summer Hall. Fucking A. Seek that out. He's a fan of the Alexel podcast. It's going to be a quality show.
Do you know why I started that? The Edinburgh Fringe. Doing comedy at the Edinburgh Fringe. You're just embarrassed now, aren't you? You just feel sorry for me. The grandiose claims as well. I fucking invented that. That's me.
It's true.
No, there was 1980, when was it? 1980. There was no stand-up comedy at the Edinburgh Fringe, and me and a guy called Tony Allen went up there, and we did. We were the first, and we were on at midnight at the Harriet Watt, and we were the first stand-up comedy on the Edinburgh Fringe. It was all, wow. You know, it was all
theatre,
yeah, and medical students doing Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and stuff like that. And it was. And one of the reviewers said...
So that still happens, by the way, still.
Yeah. One of the reviewers said, yeah, I don't know what this is, you know, it's because these men stand at a microphone. So I started that, and you owe me a pound. I fucking did! And
you've gone to Australia for less than
I've been. Than this. I was...
You went to do that really shit film.
Which reckless...
Which one?
I've been to Australia to do several shit things. I don't know, you probably didn't know, there was a thing, there was a festival on, do you know Kangaroo Island? Are you from Sydney?
No, from Melbourne.
Sydney, there's an island in Sydney Harbour called Kangaroo Island, which is a former naval base, which they, in 2009 or something, I think it was, they did this festival, The Funniest Island in the World, which it very much wasn't. But it was also, there was, I remember seeing doors everywhere, like, because it was a naval base, saying, radiation hazard, do not enter, and stuff like that. And it was very...
It's going to stop people going to the shows.
Yeah, it only lasted a couple of years. A guy called John Pinder, who used to own the... What was the club, the original club in Melbourne? The Leicester Factory.
Cul-de-sac.
Yeah. Anyway, he owned that. And in a car park... In Sydney Airport, he gave me $12,000 in an envelope. I think I can...
Your fee for coming to do
my
the show?
Fee, yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I flew... We flew British Airways Club Class. What did you fly?
China Eastern.
I'm looking at the wrong person. China Eastern. What was that? Economy or...
Yeah.
What was that like?
It was fine. The meals were fine. Chinese and Hong Kong films.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right.
You like Kung Fu films? Or Hard Boiled? Those are cool, like fighting Chinese cop films.
Kind of. You know, I see those fights. I can fucking do that.
Yeah, of course.
When's this callback gonna get annoying? When I I flew Etihad the last time I went to.
Wow.
Business class. Which is like traveling to Australia in a call center, really, because you're in this kind of cubicle, you know, with a screen.
Yeah.
And you want to pass the time kind of scamming people. I am Ranjay from Tech Support.
12 grand. Let's move away from that accent.
Yeah. See, every week I slip in a race. I see your Japanese friend is near this week, Jonathan. Was she put off by my racist...
I don't like this new trend you're doing, Alexei. It's not...
No,
he's
it's
trying
not.
To get
it's
me
terrible.
To do the new Instagram videos. It's Accents of the World with Alexei Sale.
Who would you like to interview? Somebody asked me last week. Your Japanese friend. Is she
no,
Japanese?
It wasn't. It wasn't her.
It wasn't there. Was it some other? Was it,
it was China? Another Chinese girl who you
really?
Offended with your accent.
Fuck. I didn't. She thought she left it off.
Yeah, she thought it was charming.
It was funny. But I was just yes.
I think
kind
you
of,
get away with so much because you're old. Just let him do what he wants.
Let him do what
right
he wants.
Right until that word old came out. I thought you were going to say talented.
Yeah. No, we're past that. We're too close.
Anyway,
now.
I was fantasizing about interviewing because somebody asked me who I'd like to interview, and I said Xi Jinping, and then I did.
Yes.
I did a racist accent. Really. Yes, so I'm not going to do that anymore. That's it. That's it.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We've already got enough shit, it's going to get us in trouble.
Yeah.
If you could spend 12 grand on one thing in one go, you have to spend the 12 grand in the next hour, what would you spend it on?
Why are you asking me that?
Good work, just the image of you getting an envelope with 12 grand, but like Bruce's
million style. It was $12,000 Australian dollars, so it wasn't... it was about £8. It was... No, it was about, I don't know how much it was. 12 grand. I don't know. I'm not, I mean, when you get to, you talk about me being, when you get to being up my age, it's when you start giving shit away, really. You don't, you're not interested in anything. Everything's hollow and empty and you don't really want anything. Mm. So.
You haven't given me anything.
There's nothing.
Give me stuff.
I'm not giving you anything.
Do you want to talk about what happened yesterday?
I couldn't think of any kind of joke about that. No, Palestine action. Yes, Steve, who was at least one of our audiences, was arrested yesterday in the demonstration in support of Palestine action. And I am, I don't know really, I'm sort of, I was, I am, I'm, what did I say last week about, I'm just sort of like, window shopping for prisons. If I do, what I'd really like, I don't know if any of you can fix it here, but Ford Open Prison apparently gets 5 stars on TripAdvisor, and Ford Open Prison is the one I'm aiming for.
Nice,
really. If tennis, and I think I'd either work in the garden or the library. And I'd help the illiterate prisoners write letters back home and stuff like that. And just like an early night, you know, and you'd be reading books. You wouldn't have any interest. You'd be reading interesting books, and I mean, you'd be, well, lights out, 9 o'clock, night, Lexi. We're up at 7. Healthy breakfast from that you've grown in the prison garden. I don't want Shawshank because that doesn't sound that doesn't look good really.
I'm just worried. I'm worried that I wouldn't have the sway that you have to like pick and choose prison.
No, you'd be in fucking Brixton, wouldn't you? Somewhere like that. Belmarsh, yeah. Actually, that, do you remember that shit? Was I talk, I've got to kind of spread this because it's a tremendous challenge because it's a podcast. We have to take completely fresh stuff every time. Like if you came to see me in the book reading and stuff, I'd do tell the same old stories every fucking night, you know, and they'd be hilarious because they'd be worked. But I'm having to talk about, so every week, for instance, I talk about a terrible movie I've been in.
Yes.
So there's about 15 of them. So that should see us. We've got another 2 nights here. Haven't we? That should see us through. Just Clancy Brown, who plays the evil. Was I talking about The Bride? No, I was talking about Siesta.
You talked about Siesta last week.
But Clancy Brown.
I got a message about that. Yeah. Someone said that. They read the IMDb. I glitched out there. They read the IMDb trivia of Siesta.
Yeah.
And one of the facts was that Madonna turned down that film because it had too much nudity and sex in it.
Really? Well, it was,
Madonna.
That period, Madonna, yeah. Because it was directed by Mary Lambert, who had done the Madonna video material. Now living in a material world. So she did know Madonna, and she did, she was a video. And then the next film, because she thought, everybody on that film thought that they were kind of Fellini, really, that they were reinventing the movies. And the next film that Mary Lambert did a few years later was Pet Sematary 2.
Oh. That's a shame.
But the evil guard in Shawshank, whose name I've now forgotten.
Clancy
Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played the monster in the other terrible film I did.
In The Bride?
In The Bride, yes.
Ah.
Sting and Jennifer Beals. Have I not talked about that? You've talked about it, but it's been a while.
So what's the plot of The Bride? Is it just the remake of The Bride of Frankenstein?
Well, it's a feminist reimagining of The Bride of Frankenstein, yeah. And Sting is Baron Frankenstein, and Jennifer Beals out of Flashdance is... So first of all, he makes Clancy Brown, who's horribly ugly, and then he runs off. And then he manages to make Jennifer Beals out of Flashdance, which is, you know. And she's kind of, and I think it's probably an interesting novel, really, because there's obviously a sexual attraction between them, but in a sense, he's her father as well, you know, so there's an interesting...
Between Sting and Jennifer Beals.
Yeah, between Sting. Except Sting's a terrible fucking actor, so you never got that. But a really good actor could have made something out of that.
Is it made, directed and written by a woman, this film?
No, it was a novel from... Someone just yelled something. Oh, you have a heart attack. All right. The novel was written by a woman, I think, the screenplay. But no, it was directed by a guy called Frank Rodham.
What makes it feminist to reimagine?
I can't remember now. Because I think it's about, in the end, that she finds liberation away from... I can't remember whether she kills Sting or... I know a lot of us have wished that. That she finds liberation by getting away from her, I think, and becoming her own person, as does the monster, as does...
Fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm an evil circus owner.
Yeah. Who recruits Frankenstein's monster as one of the acts.
Yes, yes.
And you were good mates with Sting for a while.
I was, yeah. I was his court jester for a while. I thought I would try... You know, you get that... You get that opportunity, really. You know, I think it was in the early years of my career. You get that opportunity to mix entirely with other superstars, you know.
So is that what it was for you? It wasn't a real friendship, do you think, now looking back on it? It was just an opportunity.
Yeah. It was we did The Secret Policeman's Other Ball together, and he said backstage, he said, "You're really funny, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." and then we sort of got friendly and, you know, for a while. But yeah, it wasn't real. I'm still very good friends with his first wife, Thompson. Yeah. So I
did he give you any tips on the
not really
tantric?
No, before he got into... I remember we were in his house and there was a precursor of the piano in there. I think it's called clavichord.
Clavichord or harpsichord?
And I said, "Oh, does that cost a lot?" And he said, "Well, I had to bid against the Smithsonian for it."
Fucking hell.
So it must cost fucking thousands then. And
12,000 Australian dollars.
Yeah. Fucking amazing. Fucking hell, Sting. But it didn't, you know. I didn't really want to be. I mean, that is a way to be a superstar in a way that you only mix with people of either equal or great prominence. You see, I mean, Billy Connolly did that, I think, very much. I'm fond of Billy, but I mean, he was only friends with other celebrities, really. And I think in the end, it would have been a kind of death, really. I couldn't do it, you know, as much as I... You know, laughing at Eric Clapton's jokes or something. Right? <You know?
laughs> Well, oh, great. Thanks Jeff to that Beck, attitude.
Yeah.
We've got a relationship thanks to that.
Attitude. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why? You're not famous.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, right. But those things, it is like, oh, Jeff Beck's going to play the guitar. Oh, fucking hell. Peter O'Toole's going to recite Shakespeare.
Oh, my God. Like a dinner party.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So, yeah, I turned my back on that life, really. But I think it was interesting to try it for a bit. Really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new Superman film?
No, although having said I reject Superman, I was having a coffee with Peter Capaldi this morning. And,
but you were friends with him before he was famous.
I was.
Yeah.
And, but he's...
Lovely man. Lovely, lovely man.
He said that... because it got really bad review, got like a 2-star review in The Guardian. And he said they'd seen it and it was really brilliant. They said it was funny and kind of impressive.
But he's been in a previous James Gunn film, so I think.
Yeah,
he's
we got didn't a... really get on.
Oh, that really?
Was... Yeah. Oh!
Well, I've heard.
I'd said you irradiated was Idris Elba, but.
Wow.
We'll cut that out.
No, staying in. It's the juiciest bit of gold we've had so far. Because I've read mixed things. I've heard it's good and bad. But the main headline is that it's a pro-Palestine film.
Oh, is that why it's getting... in what sense?
Maybe that's why it's getting slated. But
yeah, maybe.
And apparently the second series of Andor both have very strong allergies.
Allegory. Thank you.
Sorry, no, I've got allergies. I need to get.
You're a product of the school system of healing.
What the fuck does that mean?
That's why you don't know what the word allegory means.
Oh, shut up. I do know what it means. I just said it wrong. For Palestine. So there's this like plot in Superman where there's this defenseless small country where they just got like rocks and sticks and shit. And they're having a conflict with their neighbor, which is this high-tech, highly armed country run by a puppet of Lex Luthor, so an American stooge, basically, and they're attacking this poor little country.
Wow.
And Superman comes in and saves Palestine.
Really?
That's probably but he gets a hard time for it. America gives him a hard time for doing
really?
It.
That's
and he's like,
really
fuck off, I did the right thing, you motherfuckers.
Fucking hell, that really is. Well, Andor, Andor is so boring. I felt it was my duty to the Palestinian people to watch it, but really...
did you watch the second series?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it. I don't Disney money.
There's a party scene. People dancing in the future. It's always terrible, you know. It's like the dance scenes in fucking Matrix.
The Matrix,
3.
Yeah, it's so bad.
It's so shit. I mean, I did jumping ahead to shit films I've done. I also there's a film called Solar Babies.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about that a little bit, and that's set in a dystopian world where there's no water, very little water. There's like a market there. I always think there's always like a in a dystopian future kind of town centre. Yeah. There's always fucking fire eaters, isn't there? There's always like jugglers and
the camera pans fast.
Yeah, exactly. I said, why would you have? There's no fucking water in this planet. Why would you have fucking fire eating?
That's so true. Yeah. That's really dumb. It's true.
Well, there's a terrible wedding scene in like season 2, episode 1 of Andor. Just unwatchable. The dancing, the future dancing is just so bad. I couldn't, even though it's apparently about Palestine, I couldn't.
Did you?
Persevere, really.
No?
I think we've cancelled Disney now, so...
good. I liked Andor, the first series. I thought
it's all right, yeah. It was okay, yeah.
The idea, the conversation now is that the pro-Palestine message is becoming trendy and hip and cool because obviously all the young people are pro-Palestine and that's where the money is. So obviously Hollywood is like going to like exploit that, but at the same time they're promoting the right message. So it's because so many now celebrities, like in the last week, more than I've seen in that kind of time frame, celebrities breaking their silence on Palestine. Christ.
Where were you?
And it's like, okay, where were you? Yeah, but
better late than never, I suppose. Yeah, well, good, really. Yeah.
It is better than
which, you know, I mean, it's on.
And even Alistair Campbell.
Yeah.
On his fucking show, was it The Rest is Genocide?
Yeah, I saw a clip of that on, yeah.
And him and Rory, and he's going on and on. And you think, wow, he's making really good points, even though it's leaving a bad taste in my mouth. But then he fucking drags Jeremy Corbyn anti-Semitism into the conversation. Really? Says, like, said, even my wife left Labour because of the anti-Semitism scandal. Because he's talking about the conflation of anti-Semitism.
Right, you excited that bit, didn't I? I used to do it in my stand-up, but didn't tell me about... Because, I mean, it is, you know, Alistair Campbell rehabilitating his, you know...
Yeah.
His reputation. I said, you know, Alistair Campbell talks movingly and panorama about his depression. I said, of course you're depressed, you cunt. You're a mass murderer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How do you fucking live with yourself?
Yeah, he seems... I saw him in... actually, this is shows me in a bad light. I saw him once on Hampstead Heath and I ran away. Oscar would say, why are we going up here? Just look at this tree. I don't know whether I could take him because he is quite handy. He's quite a big lad.
He's got a kind fit. Of working class accent. Yeah. I think he comes from the streets. So yeah. Probably been in a fight or two.
Well, he was actually...
But you could fucking have him, man.
I think I could have him. I'm
of course. He's weedy. I could have him.
All right.
The trick would be is you'd need to get him quick. I reckon he's like wily and would dodge you. But if you get one punch in on him, he's fucking
down. Do you know what my favourite... This is what I think my favourite Yong Chun, White Crane strike is. It's called, I think it's called Dragon's Eye. It's a roundhouse punch to there. Like
to the
that.
Temple?
To the temple.
With your knuckles sticking out?
With that, yeah, so you braced it.
Fucking hell.
That's what I try. That's what Alistair Campbell. That's what's waiting for Alistair Campbell. Drag Phoenix. Maybe it's Phoenix Eye. I can't remember now. But I was watching the thing, which was Judge D, which is a kind of Chinese kung fu kind of murder mystery thing. But he does double
Dragon's
Phoenix
Eye.
Phoenix Eye. To the solar plexus. But I like roundhouse to the temple. Fucking lights out, man.
You'd have to be quick.
And then take Rory Stewart, little cunt, I fucking... forward thrusting kick.
Yeah.
So that, because he's only down there. And he's
with the heel.
Forward thrusting kick to the head. Alistair Campbell, Phoenix Eye to the temple. Rory Stewart, forward thrusting kick to the face. probably be arrested for this alone.
Who wouldn't fucking pay to see
action,
that?
Yeah.
I'm very proud of myself. I started Kung Fu again last week.
I went back after
a recess and I'm very chuffed with it. I'm going back tomorrow. Okay, I got some questions from Instagram. Do you want some?
Yeah.
From our 71,000 followers on our Instagram.
Oh, that's cool.
What's your opinion about Claudia Sheinbaum? Sheinbaum? Do you know who that is?
Yeah, of course I fucking know.
I don't know.
Claudia Sheinbaum is the president of Mexico.
Oh, right, okay.
Mexico. Jewish.
Oh, she must be a Mexican fan.
Yeah.
That we were discussing
from
last week.
From our videos, yeah. She's great. I mean, I think Mexico must be a very difficult country to govern with everything goes on there. But, I mean, I don't know that much about it, but the institutional revolution, I mean, there'd been a party in power since they'd broken away, you know, since the Mexican Revolution. And then AMLO had founded this party called Morena, I think, and they a left-wing party, and they'd taken power. And she's taken over the presidency from AMLO, and they're entirely left-wing. I mean, some people have disagreements with them, but it's an entirely left-wing prospectus that they have, and they go from strength to strength. They're incredibly popular in Mexico, and she's fantastic, and she's very, you know, she's very, you know, she takes no shit from Trump and stuff like that. So it's, Mexico. I mean, Oscar, my Argentinian friends, but you know, Mexico, you know, so far from God, so close to the United States. Which is what people say about Mexico. That having that incredible bully on your northern border must be a very difficult thing. And then the cartels and all that stuff, really. So it must be a very difficult country to...
Bit of a handful, yeah.
Yeah, but they're doing it. And there's been no... diminution in their popularity, as I understand it. So it's a lesson really for, you know, whenever the new left-wing party emerges here, that just stick to your guns, really, you know. So, yes, Claudia Sheinbaum, she probably follows us on Instagram. It's probably her.
Probably her asking.
Yeah, it's probably her asking about herself.
Oh,
yeah, it is. President of Mexico. Hola, chica, ¿qué tal? That's not racist, I'm just talking Spanish.
That's good, it's very good.
Hola, baby.
¿Qué pasa contigo?
Hey. I've seen Sicario 1 and 2.
I had a joke years ago. It was but only a certain demographic understand it. It's like, how do you power a Mexican boat? Sombreros.
Sombreros.
It's a good joke, actually. Jazz asks, and I if you don't have an answer, that's fine, but what does Karl Marx think about gay and trans people?
Well, obviously he doesn't think anything because he's dead. but I don't know, actually. I don't know. I don't know whether Marx really wrote on subjects such as that, really.
But in general, he thought everyone, he had umbrella to, like, think, everyone should be
well, I think
treated
he thought,
well.
I don't know whether he, I mean, I don't know whether he, I mean, he was always, I imagine that he probably, there was a version of identity politics in his time, and I'm sure he would have been against it because, as we always say, everybody will get, socialism is the only way that everybody will get equality, and identity politics is essentially a dead end. You know, it's a deviation from the class struggle because the class struggle is the only really valid struggle. And certainly there was a sort of, in the 1960s, I think I maybe talked a little bit about this, that the CIA essentially funded abstract art. You know, they did, that they put a lot of money into people like Jackson Pollock and also into avant-garde poetry and about Andy Warhol and stuff. But certainly they put a lot of money. And they also, there was this deviation from Marxism called continental Marxism. I think was it Derrida? I'm not sure, the French Marxist philosophers. And that went down a road of identity politics. And that was that they was secretly financed by the CIA as well.
Right.
So that they saw that was the only struggle really is socialism, you know, and to do identity politics, I think, is a deviation.
It's like another version of pitting us against each other.
Exactly.
When we should be.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like, fuck gay and trans people.
I doubt it.
It was more like, focus on the real issue and then we'll all be free kind of thing.
Exactly.
Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think climate denial is more of a right wing thing? Is it they lack empathy? Why is it the right wings that?
Well, why would it
deny
be? Climate denial is, because climate denial is about empowering the fossil fuel industry, isn't it? That those who deny the climate crisis are in the pocket of the fossil fuel industry.
Fucking money,
so why would the left be, you know, what's it, nothing in it for us, is it really, the to deny climate, you know, change,
fair
really
dudes.
So I mean it, you know, yeah, it would, they would of necessity be on the right, I think, really.
Before I move on to another one, let me just do some admin. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Because last week I forgot that we're recording a podcast. I'm so focused on you guys, but I need to like say some admin bits. All right. Support the show, please. Listeners at home and you in the audience. Support this grassroots movement. Support our Patreon. Patreon.com/AlexisHellPodcast. That's Patreon.com/AlexisHellPodcast. Help keep the wheels a turning. And we've got two more live shows. Here at the Museum of Comedy.
fuck.
We're going to have a special guest for at least one of them.
Lisa Mayer.
On the 27th of July and the 17th of August, right here at the Museum of Comedy. You guys here in the room, we'd love to see you again. And you folks listening at home, book your tickets. Yeah.
You know, this is the best show at the Edinburgh Fringe that you're going to see, you know. And it's not it's not even at the fucking Fringe. I'm actually at the Fringe. I'm doing the second and third. I'm doing like a comic strip.
Retrospective.
Is it? Yeah, Peter's showing, I think he's showing Supergrass and he's showing The Strike. And I'm going to be a guest and talk about the old days. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Go to that as well. Yeah. There is a discount code for our Museum of Comedy shows. If you're a Patreon member, you can get a discount. If you ask me, it's on our page, but if you can't find it, just send me a message. And someone on the Patreon asked, when are we going to Liverpool? Fingers crossed, if all goes well, we're going to do two shows in Liverpool on the 10th and 11th of October. It's Alexis Sale's homecoming podcast recording.
Tubrich.
Hopefully, it'll be in the Liverpool Old Library, which you knew growing up, that building.
Yeah, it's by end of Liverpool, Tubrich. Yeah.
So if you're a listener up in Liverpool,
come and fucking see us.
Keep your eyes peeled. The tickets haven't been released yet. And Shoreham on sea on the 3rd of October.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll have stuff to talk about because we'll be in a different location.
Yeah,
you'll have like stories.
Yeah. Size of a terrible plane crash, wasn't it? Sure. So we can talk about that. They probably liked it. They probably enjoyed that when the Hawker Hunter jet crashed a few years ago.
Really?
Cars, yeah. Shoreham Air Show, yeah. Shoreham Air.
Oh, the Air Show one. Yeah, fuck.
So we could have a right laugh about that.
No.
It's a local reference as well, isn't it? It's always like, you know, you always like find out the local reference, don't you? So that's the only thing to say about Shoreham, is it?
So
Hawker Hunter death crash.
So head to the Rope Tackles website to get tickets for our Shoreham.
Have a laugh at people being kidnapped.
They'll be released
soon. Alive in their cars, yeah? Pilot ejected and got caught, and he was.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Interesting. See, it's informative, this show. It's funny and informative, just like Shakespeare.
Someone asked me a question. I told you about this backstage, and you were like, oh, I know what they're talking about. I didn't know what they were talking about. They said, amazed to hear about the free train travel all over Europe. Yeah. What other union benefits were there? What are they going on about?
Because my dad worked on the railways. We got free rail travel up to the borders of the Soviet Union.
All over Europe,
yes.
Was your dad a driver?
No, he was a guard. He was a railway guard. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was he tough? Could he like have Alistair Campbell?
No, I don't know. He was quite a little man. I don't know. I've never seen him fight anybody really. Because my mother was hysterical and he had a very fluid attitude to getting on and off trains. And so we'd be in somewhere, the train would go into Stuttgart Bahnhof.
Mm.
And then my dad would get off and go to a shop because he knew that the train was going to go in, then go out again and then come back in. So the train would leave and my dad would still be buying pumpernickel in the shop. And my mother would go, Joe, oh Christ, Joe. And then the train would come back into a different platform. My dad would be waiting there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the most scarring thing from my childhood. But he was a guard, yeah. And he actually had his own, he was a freight guard, so he had his own guards van that used to go at the back of the train
and
with a stove in it.
So his union card carried weight around the whole of Europe?
Not so much the union card, no, it's just that he worked for British Railways, so he got... I mean, you get...
bless you.
If I was good at crowd work, I'd get something really funny out of that. But
yeah, dropped a dildo, mate.
Are you together? Do you work together? Are you a couple? Yeah. Shut up.
Your mates.
Yeah, your pals. Yeah, good people.
What are the union benefits then?
Well, I know a friend of mine, their son's a cabin steward for Welling, the budget arm of Iberia, and he gets amazing benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And she is my friend's partner was a stewardess for Iberia, and you get made free flights everywhere. It's a good life.
Are you in Equity? Are you part of a union?
I'm in Equity.
Equity. What are the benefits?
The actors, none. Years ago, of course, you couldn't work in. You couldn't work when the unions were really young. You couldn't work as a stand-up comedian and unless you were in equity, and they wouldn't really, you know, they wouldn't, it was, they made it very difficult for you to be a member. And so I remember when I was at the Comedy Store, Dom Ward, he faked a letter to say that I had worked at the Stardust Country Club in Usk, South Wales, supporting Gene Pitney. If you remember, you're mostly too young to remember, 24 Hours from Tulsa. So Gene Pitney, and because Donna knew people in show business, he managed to fake this letter saying, I'd worked as a comedian so I could be an equity member because I'd supported Gene Pitney at the Stardust Country Club in Usk, South Wales. And equity just fucking, they didn't really. I mean, I got in later, but yeah.
What about in Australia? Do they have a stand-up comedian union? Barely, but there is one.
Not really. It's like the actors. Entertainment actors.
All right, there's not a stand-up one.
There's not really a specific comedy.
Uh-huh. My memory is unions were very strong. The trade unions were very strong in Australia, really. And they don't, do they still, because they don't, if you give a taxi driver a tip, he'd give you a little talk about how he was paid enough and give you the money back. Do they still do that?
I haven't been in a taxi for a long time.
Look at him, Alexi. He doesn't ride taxis. He's got his own chauffeur.
I've got my own show.
Oh, my own show. Fuck, that's good.
I was doing this terrible movie in Newcastle. Nelson's Bay, you know, Nelson's Bay in New South Wales. We were based there. And I rented a ute. And but a ute is like a pickup truck, but it's sort of half car, half pickup truck. It's a kind of specifically Australian thing. And the only place you could rent it from was a video store in New South. And I had to pay $100 deposit. And then the first thing I did when I got into it, I drove into the back of a bus. And then I tried to convince him. When I gave it back a week later, I tried to convince him that that dent had always been there. It's amazing how kind of threatening Australians can make the word mate sound, isn't it? That dent wasn't there before, mate. And I had to pay the $100.
Well, you had $12,000 in your pocket.
Yeah, I did. No, this is different. This was when I was on the Yahoo. How is Yahoo serious? Is he still going in? Oh yeah, the search engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, things didn't turn out well for him. Really, they didn't. Yeah, who's
and
serious?
He was the star of that.
Who's star?
Was it the Kangaroo movie? Jack? What's it called?
Reckless Kelly.
Kelly.
We were in. I'll tell this story. We were in. So we there was a lot. We were in Los Angeles for 6 weeks, and we're in a club one night, and Yahoo's dad came out. And he was in the club, and the black guy was next to him in the toilet. You knew Ryan Lee. He said, "Oh, that's a really interesting accent." The black guy said, "That's a really interesting accent." He said, "Where are you from?" And Yahoo's dad said, "Newcastle." And he said, "Where's that?" And he said, "It's near Lake Macquarie."
I don't get it.
But he did that movie Young Einstein. That was a big hit. And then he did
Yahoo's Dad.
Young Einstein, it was called. It was a big hit. And then he did the follow-up, which is called Reckless Kelly, that I was
right.
In. And as
why is Australian the one accent you can't do?
It's
the only one that wouldn't be offensive for you to do.
I can do an Australian accent. That's not bad.
There we go.
I can do an Australian accent, mate.
You flaming galah.
Yeah. You flattened the carburetor. We were just on a bus and this car had broken down. There's a bloke in the middle of the street shouting, "You flattened the carburetor." Shit happens to me.
Shit happens.
Really quite banal shit, but I make the most of it, really. Yeah, so I was in Nelson's Bay for 10 weeks and then I was in, we were in Los Angeles for 6 weeks.
I want to ask you about one more topic before we wrap up.
Hugo Weaving was in it as well, of course. Agent Smith.
Did you get on with him?
Yeah, we were very, we were good friends. Yeah, we went for a meal and everything.
Go on.
Yeah.
Can I ask about what happened yesterday?
Oh, yes.
Can I ask you about what happened yesterday?
Well, didn't we?
We already discussed that. Yeah. Well, what? Tell us in some more detail.
About Palestine Action.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yes, of course. Yes. Well, Palestine, of course, this show in no way supports prescribed organisations. I think we have to say that in the hope of staying out of Ford Open Prison. But what the plan is that the Palestine Action, and I think that the kind of overall organisation is called Defend Our Jewry is organising this. And what they want is every week for more and more people to go to the Gandhi statue outside Parliament. So it increases. So that there was 29 Saturday before, there was 47 this Saturday, and there were also people arrested in Cardiff and Manchester and somewhere else. Liverpool and Gandhi.
Is it like everyone who shows up is basically...
If you produce a sign then it says I'm against genocide, I support Palestine Action, then those people get arrested. And they want more and more people, so it builds and builds and builds, and then so the legal system becomes overwhelmed, basically. Is that what you wanted me to say? It wasn't about my lunch or anything. What happened yesterday? Well, actually, I went to a Kurdish restaurant. Oh, no, that was on Friday.
That was on Friday. And a good friend of yours went yesterday.
Yes, well, Steve. He went. Yeah, and he said, well, I've got myself a lawyer because I think there will come a point when I think I'll say something and get arrested accidentally, or I will deliberately get myself arrested.
And obviously it's really frustrating how carefully we have to tread even just discussing it.
I mean, the lawyer said, because I was just so annoyed. I mean, I just think it's such an outrageous assault on our freedom and our democracy that the lawyer said, you know, you cannot overestimate how chilling that knock on the door is, that he said, I've got a lot of clients who are in this situation. It is terrifying, and you have to really be,
Have you never been raided before?
No.
My family home got raided when I was a kid. Because my brother does graffiti.
Oh, right.
And he was like 20 years old or something. So I must have been like a teenager. Fucking 6 in the morning. Police, open up. And my brother's friend lost his phone and it was handed into the police. And all his mates' names on his phone contacts were all their graffiti names. so they were like, oh, this is it. We found all these graffiti artists. And so they came, stormed the house. Everyone's like in their pajamas and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And my brother, like, my mum's such a legend. He had the photo album of him standing next to every bit of graffiti he's ever done. He chucked it to my mum, who hid it in the attic. But they tore his room apart. And like, he had graph on every bit of like furniture and the cupboards, and they were like dismantling everything, taking it all. It is fucking scary.
I agree with them on that point. But
well, fair enough. But it is scary just having these people force themselves into your home and start taking your shit.
But I think you can. I mean, I can speak in the sense that if you speak out against the proscription of Palestine Action, which I am doing now, then that is allowed. And it is an outrageous, I mean, it's extraordinary leap into the dark, really, the authoritarian darkness. I mean, it's stunning, really. And then, you know, you think how can the world go on? How can people watch fucking tennis? And, you know, I mean, because this, you know, we are in Nazi Germany, really, in a sense of getting there. And it is just, you know, It is fucking awful, really. If anybody wants to get themselves arrested, then I don't know if I can say that. Really.
You
shouldn't.
You've
go, you
given all the
down.
Information. You've said
you
all.
Mustn't go down. Yeah,
it's scary times.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a new Freedom Flotilla about to take off. And I was wondering, would you want to be on the third one? Would you ever do that? Get on that boat? So they've got the Hamdallah now, the new one.
Yeah. No, I think I'm a coward. I don't. I've got this benefit Handala. With Juliet Stevens next weekend, so I can't be arrested before then. I can't be killed by the IDF before Saturday because I've got this show at the Troxy. So,
yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I'd be with the Al-Qassam Brigades.
I think that's called Voices for Palestine.
Yes.
On the 19th of July at the Troxy.
Yeah.
That's the day this podcast comes out. So that message is just for you lot in the room here.
Anish Kumar, Bassem Youssef, Juliet Stevenson.
Our friend Sami Abuwerde.
Yeah, Khaled Abdullah. And me.
Free Palestine as always.
So I hope we answered you. Thank you. Yeah, it is. I mean, and you know, again, we are saying more and more. I mean, it is.
Steve's off.
He'll be back.
Well, we're about to end the show.
Yeah, it is. I can't believe this is happening, really. I mean, every day is an unfolding nightmare, really. I mean, and it's not, you know, it's not what's happening. It's not as bad as what's happening in Gaza, but it is linked. And that it should be, you know, done at the behest of these shit in, like, the campaign against anti-Semitism and these other Israeli, pro-Israeli lobby groups.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah. We believe in Israel.
Yes, we believe in genocide. Oh, well, it started out strong, didn't it?
Thank you, guys. That's been the Lexus L podcast. See you around. Good night.
You've been listening to the Lexus L podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexislpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.